battle. Despite the staggering numbers, it was still the mightiest force south of the Himalayas, possibly in the whole world. No army known could stand against him. But that was not his concern right now. Ashoka turned from the vast scene of carnage and stared at his general. "I mean, how many have we slain?" Katar smiled, cruel and unremorseful about the savage annihilation he had caused of a proud people. "My officers tell me that we have wiped out 100,000 Kalingan soldiers. None were spared. An equal number of civilians were either killed or deported in the plunder after the battles. We have taught the world a lesson. No one will dare defy us again." Ashoka did not return the smile. Instead of pride over his great triumph, he felt a deep shame that had been festering for days. Unwilling to become his subjects, the citizens of Kalinga had fought to the last man, woman, and child. He had heard tales of entire villages committing suicide rather than suffer brutalization by his rampaging army. His empire now stretched from Persia to the Ganges Delta. This ride was supposed to have been a survey of his monumental achievement. Instead, it had become a trail of infamy, a testament to his viciousness, and it was changing his view of the world in profound ways. Ashoka knew he couldn't let this be his lasting legacy. He deserved his title, Ashoka the Terrible. He had done hideous things to secure his reign as emperor. He'd killed 99 of his 100 half-brothers to prevent them from overthrowing him, sparing only his younger brother Vit, his most trusted advisor. He'd created a prison known as Ashoka's Hell, where his enemies endured every kind of torture imaginable. No inmate had ever come out alive. But all of that paled in comparison to the suffering he'd seen over the past week's ride. These were not betrayers and criminals. The dead and exiled of Kalinga were noble soldiers fighting for their homeland and its innocent civilians, who only wanted to live their lives in peace. Vit and his forces were scheduled to meet Ashoka today at Kalinga's capital to bring news from the rest of the country. But what he'd seen already was enough to convince him to turn away from further conquest and focus on improving the lives of his subjects. The rustle of leaves in the forest caused his guards to draw their swords. Ashoka turned to see a filthy young woman in ragged clothing emerge from the tree line. Tears were streaming down her cheeks as she took in the holocaust her people had endured. Then she turned and caught sight of the emperor and his men. She limped toward them. "Kill this vermin," Katar casually said to one of the guards. The guard raised his sword and readied to charge at her. "Sheathe your weapons," Ashoka ordered. "All of you." The guards instantly obeyed his command and put away their swords. Katar narrowed his eyes at the emperor. "Excellency, no one will harm this woman." She staggered to a stop in front of him without a hint of fear. Ashoka could see only sadness and defiance on her face. She glanced at the royal lion on his banner and then stared at him. "Are you the Emperor Ashoka the Terrible? Are you the butcher who has done this to my people?" She gestured with a weak and trembling arm at the devastation below them. "How dare you speak to His Excellency with such disrespect," Katar yelled. "You will—" Ashoka put up his hand and looked at the general. "Quiet. I want to hear what she has to say." He turned back to the woman. "I am Ashoka. Are you from this city?" She nodded. "Tosale was my home." "Are you alone?" "You should know. Your armies murdered my father, my husband, and my three brothers in battle." Katar shouted at her. "They were not murdered. They died because they refused our gracious offer to surrender and become subjects of the Mauryan Empire. They were nothing more than pathetic vermin to be wiped off the face of the—" "Enough!" Ashoka dismounted to the surprise of his guards, who immediately surrounded him and the woman as he approached her. Ashoka took her hand. "Do you not have any family left?" She shook her head. "My only son died of disease, and my sisters and two daughters were violated before they were sent away to be